broadcasting from the campus of Salisbury University. This is WSDL Ocean City 90.7 FM, Delmarva Public Radio. It's time now for a special writer's edition of Delmarva Today with host Harold Wilson.
What do the coast of Maine, a Delmarva brewed craft beer, and poetry have in common? Welcome to Delmarva Today, the writer's edition. I'm your host, Harold Wilson. Linda Blasky and Tina Ray Dayton are in our studio today to help us answer that question. Linda is a poet and coordinator of the Dogfish Head Poetry Prize, and Tina is the 2012 winner of the prize with her chapbook, The Softened Ground. Linda, welcome to Delmarva Today, the writer's edition.
Thank you, Hal. I'm happy to be here.
In addition to being the coordinator of the Dogfish Head Poetry Prize, Linda is poetry and interview editor for the Broadkill Review and past poetry chair of the Holly branch of the National League of American Pen Women in Delaware. She is a widely published poet with work appearing in Delmarva Quarterly, Literary Mama, the Delmarva Review, the Broadkill Review, Delaware Poetry Quarterly, and many, many others. Her short fiction has appeared in Terrains, Gargoyle, and the Broadkill Review. In addition to Linda's publishing success, she has been awarded a number of prizes for her work, including the 2008 Dogfish Head Poetry Prize, a few years prior to becoming the prize coordinator, and the Delaware Press Association Communications Contest in Poetry. Her short story, The Haircut, was selected by Interact Theater's Writing Aloud. That program was dramatically presented at the Adrienne Theater in Philadelphia. Linda placed third nationally in the National Federation of Press Women's Communication Contest and won Best of Show in Literature in the juried exhibit of the Holly branch of the National League of American Pen Women before becoming associated with the organization. And Tina, welcome to you as well. We look forward to hearing some of your winning poetry from last year's submissions.
Thank you, Hal. I'm happy to be here also.
Tina received her Master's of Fine Arts in Writing from Sarah Lawrence College. Her poems have appeared in a number of literary journals, including Potomac Review, the Delmarva Review, the Broadkill Review, Amaranth, and So to Speak. Tina also has three poems in the forthcoming issue of Delaware Poetry Review to be released this fall. She is a native of Salisbury and works as a reading therapist in her private tutoring practice. Well, we're very fortunate to have two such distinguished Delmarva-based poets with us today. Linda, let's begin with you. What is the Dogfish Head Poetry Prize, and what does it have to do with the coast of Maine and a locally brewed beer here on the Delmarva Peninsula?
Well, the prize is just what it says it is. It's a contest for poets, ending result being that the winning manuscript is published. What it has to do with the coast of Maine is Sam Caligione, who is the owner of Dogfish Head Craft Brewed Ales, is a New Englander. And one of his favorite places to vacation was Dogfish Head in Maine. And like Nags Head or Hilton Head, it's a finger of land that juts out into the water, and it's not far from Booth Bay Harbor. Hence the name of the brewery, because Dogfish Head is close to Sam's Heart, and the name of the poetry prize.
It's interesting that doing a little research, I read that the way Dogfish Head in Maine got its name was that the lobstermen up in Maine caught more dogfish, which is a small variety
Absolutely.
Of shark, in their lobster pots than they did lobster. And so they came to name the place Dogfish Head. And the founder of the prize, you're saying, Sam,
yeah.
Vacationed up there, mm-hmm. and that's very close to him. Well, how in the world did he get down to Delaware?
His wife. He married Mariah Draper, who is a Delmarva native, and moved to Delaware.
And started his brewery.
Yes.
Down here in...
he started it in Rehoboth. He had his restaurant. It was a brew pub. But he got the idea when working as a bartender in New York City and was serving a lot of microbrews.
Uh-huh.
And I guess he thought, well, I can do that, and he certainly can.
Well, it's a very interesting story,
yes.
And a very interesting beginning. What caused him to create a poetry prize? Here he is, a brewer.
Well, Sam was an English major in college, and he has a love of literature. And I think he combined his two loves.
That's terrific. Listen, what are the basic guidelines? If I want to submit my chapbook or my manuscript to the Dogfish Head Poetry Contest, what are the basic guidelines that I would have to follow?
Well, it's all done electronically, so there are no regular mail submissions accepted. It has to be a full-length manuscript, which is anywhere from 48 to 78 poems, original work, no translations. It should have two title pages. One of the title pages has the name of the manuscript and the author's contact information, name, address, email, and all that. The second title page is just the name of the manuscript because it's a blind judging. Those are the basics.
Well, you're using the term manuscript and chapbook mm-hmm. kind of interchangeably here. What's the difference between a chapbook and a manuscript? Now, 78 pages of poems sounds rather daunting to me, a little intimidating. Can I get off a little better with a chapbook?
A chapbook historically... Well, first of all, a chapbook is a manuscript. There's a chapbook manuscript and a full-length manuscript or book-length manuscript. A chapbook, historically, and I believe they may have first come about in the during medieval times, it's maybe 13 to 26 poems. They're very economical to publish. The cover is cardstock. They're stapled together. A chapbook is a traditional way to publish. A full-length manuscript is much longer and has a flat spine, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Any sense?
I have no idea, but maybe Tina can tell us in a minute what a flat spine is. But at any rate, the chapbook, is that something I submit that I already have in hand, or do I submit just my poems and it comes out of the contest as a chapbook?
Well, we no longer do a chapbook. Starting this year, it's full-length manuscript.
I see.
So, and what you do is you organize your poems, and you submit the complete collection of poems, which are then judged.
I see. I see. Well, what submission? When do I submit? What is the submission period? Am I early? Am I too late?
The contest is going on now. It closes at midnight, September 2nd, which is Labor Day. So anything received after midnight on September 2nd won't be considered.
Okay, so I've got until Labor
got
Day to write my 78 pages of poems. And,
well, hopefully you've
already got them
written.
Oh, well, that's a very interesting observation. If I've already gotten them written and they've been published somewhere else, may I still submit them?
Yes, but you must include an acknowledgement page. Not published as a group, not as another book, but if they've been published in various print and online journals, you can include them, but you must include an acknowledgement page stating where each particular poem was previously published.
So if they're published as individual poems, mm-hmm. I can pull them off of my computer and send them
absolutely
and send them to you. Tina, you are the winner of the Dogfish Head Poetry Prize this year. 2012 for your book, The Softening Ground. Would you mind reading one of your poems, one of your winning poems from yours is a chapbook, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I would be happy to read one of my poems. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I had found Packing a very intriguing poem, and I wondered if I could ask you to read that one. Would you mind?
Yes, that would be fine. This poem is actually about moving back to the Eastern Shore after having lived away for many years.
Where were you? You describe in this poem an apartment, and where is this apartment?
Yes, I lived in Washington, D.C. for 12 years.
I see.
And this is a poem that I wrote about leaving. Packing. The nectarine street lamps begin to glow as we lower the moving truck door, and I run back upstairs, crouch in the bedroom closet, and scrawl a brief verse in a dim corner of my city apartment. A wall they might not bother to paint over for many years. And then easily I rest my keys on the kitchen counter and close the door, knowing a house waits for me on a street of few houses where I can slip into a new life like a flimsy old shirt. Feathery green corn stalks subdue the fields, their silks glowing and lit upon by iridescent dragonflies. I would move again and again to this place.
Tina, tell us about this poem.
Well, as I said, this poem is about moving back to the Eastern Shore, and for me, moving back home, because I'm from Salisbury, and the speaker in this poem is returning back home on her own terms, and for her, there's something magical about that.
That's quite beautiful. What I took from the poem to some degree too was not so much what you packed in the packing, but what you left in the apartment. What was left in the apartment by this mover?
Right. Well, I literally did write a poem in the closet before I left my D.C. apartment. And I couldn't tell you what it said now. But the impulse to leave something there, some sort of mark, was sort of overwhelming. And to me, it was kind of a love note because I did love it there. But it was time to return home.
I think the sense of leaving a verse on the walls, seldom painted walls, so it may well be there for a little while.
I like to think it is, but I believe that they actually renovated the building.
Well, no, we don't want to know that. We don't want to know that. We want to know that in that hidden corner back somewhere that failed to get renovated, your beautiful verse is still. Or we leave a lot of ourselves in the places where we live, and I think this poem captures that. And captures the sense of the desire to leave something of yourself that says you were there and that you filled that space. But I think it's a beautiful poem.
Thank you,
Linda. Other than its wonderful name, Dogfish Head Poetry Prize. What makes the Dogfish Head Poetry Prize unique? What makes it different?
Well, I think the first thing that people will notice is that included in the prize is two cases of beer. And I don't think that happens very often in poetry contests. One of the other unique things, well, actually there are two other is that it has a corporate sponsor, which is Dogfish Head Craft Brewed Ales, which you don't see very often in poetry contests. And the other is there's no entry fee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal to struggling poets that don't have a lot of money.
So are there a number of poetry prizes that select from manuscripts of the size that the Dogfish Head Poetry Prize solicits?
Quite a few.
So quite a few. Yeah. That just seems like a lot of poetry to me. I think there's one other kind of significant thing I found, and you can comment on this if you would. Why in the world would you have to be 21 years old in order to enter a poetry contest?
It's the nature of the prize. There's beer involved.
Oh, how is the beer involved?
It's part of the prize. The prize is $500. Your manuscript is published, of which you get 10 copies. Of course, you can purchase more. And you get two cases of beer. And state law prohibits giving alcohol to people under 21.
Well, yeah. No, I can understand that. So there is a real connection between the Dogfish Head beer and the poetry and the beer. Two cases of beer being a prize. I mentioned this to someone the other day, and they said that they loved Dogfish Head beer so much they were going to go home and start writing. right away. This person happened to be an astronomer from Massachusetts, so the beer is sold apparently in Massachusetts,
yes.
And he commented that that Dogfish Head beer is the beer of choice among astronomers in New England, which I found.
Interestingly enough, a lot of scientists write really good poetry.
Oh, well, good. Yeah. Well, I'll encourage this one to get his verse going. So are there other sponsors other than Dogfish Head beer?
Dennis Forney, who publishes, he's the owner and publisher of the Cape Gazette, is also a corporate sponsor. Sam covers the actual prize. Dennis covers the really important part, which is the costs of publication.
I see.
So without Dennis, it would be very difficult to do.
Right. Well, how is the winner chosen? Linda, what happens when I submit my weighty manuscript? What is going to happen to it? Who's going to read this thing?
Well, we have a process. We have all of it is blind judging, which means there is no name anywhere on the manuscript. The manuscripts first, the bulk of them go to qualified first readers who read them, sort through them, and rank them in order of preference. And they're given a numerical assignment. The top five manuscripts go to the judges.
I see. And there are how many judges, did you say?
There are three.
There are three judges.
Three judges. Mm-hmm. And this year, since we've expanded the area, two of our judges are from the West Coast. The third one is from the Midwest.
I see.
On the border of the Midwest.
Yeah. Well, you won the prize before you became associated mm-hmm. with the prize. You won the prize in 2008. Mm-hmm. Would you read one of your winning poems from 2008?
Sure.
And the name of your book was Farm. Perhaps you would read Loading Hogs for Market for us.
I'd be happy to. I will say a little bit about my chapbook. In one of the reviews, it was described as a mean book, and they didn't mean mean-spirited, but that it revealed some of the dangers and some of the harshness of an agricultural life. Loading Hogs for Market. The young man runs them through the chute, up the ramp of the truck. Those that escape have to be tackled, wrestled to the ground. He has to be quick, face pressed to bristled back. Chest, belly, legs ride the bristles. He eats their dirt. Good practice for the war and his future. For the steam and the mud he will fall down in to avoid being caught, to camouflage himself. Good practice for the stiff reeds he will walk through, for the jungle that will attack his skin, rot his feet, liquefy his bowels and parasite his mind. Good practice, many years later, for the war he will reflect on while he sits on the sprung couch in the shaded house in the dark little valley, listening to the grunts and snorts of the hogs in their pen, the metal door of their automatic feeder banging shut, like a rifle's report.
Linda, tell us a little bit about this poem.
Well, it's about my brother. And he used to help when we lived in Arkansas. My uncle load hogs for market, and you literally had to wrestle them to the ground. He's a Vietnam vet. And I was staying at his house a few years ago, and during the middle of the night, I thought I heard gunfire, and I just woke up with a start, and it was the weighted doors of the automatic feeders that would slam shut, right. And that was really the trigger for the poem.
Well, it's a beautiful poem. It's a very disturbing poem, but it's also a beautiful poem, and one could spend a bit of time on the relationship between loading hogs for market and sending young men off to Vietnam.
Yes.
And clearly that is not a hidden point.
Well, the hogs were off to slaughter.
Yeah. You know. Linda, in the past, eligibility for the prize has been limited to residents of the Delmarva Peninsula. Yeah, you're expanding this year, I understand?
Yes. We now are, I have to get my list out here because I forget the states. We're going to a mid-Atlantic region, which includes North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, and the District of Columbia.
Linda and Tina, both of you are very successful and accomplished poets. What would you say to our listeners today to encourage them to submit their manuscripts to the Dogfish Head Poetry Contest? And let's begin with you, Tina. What would you say?
About submitting, I would simply say that the advice I would give is to select your very, very, very best work. Select only the poems that you've lived with and proofread many times and crafted well. I just feel like when your manuscript lands in someone's lap, you want it to be as clear and precise as possible. And just about writing in general, I think it's a personal act and something that is sacred to the person who's doing it. I feel like submitting to this contest is a bit of a bold decision, but it could be one that changes a poet's life. So, submit.
Well, I certainly understand that about your poetry. It is beautifully crafted, and it is certainly from the depths of your own understanding of life, and it reaches us at those levels as well. I wondered if you would read for us one more poem from your book. I particularly resonated to Ode to the Living Wife. Would you mind reading that one for us?
Certainly. This poem was written after a close friend of mine lost his father. Ode to the Living Wife. Her tea gently cools in a china cup. A bee that used to live in her mailbox has vanished. In the thousands of speckled leaves overhanging, there is some slight change. One by one, the ideas delicately graze her awareness as hours commit themselves to the past. The funeral minister holds up his palm to demonstrate how one lifetime is just a hand's breadth. He says that life is pouring a glass of wine from a decanter, gradual, yet done so quickly. I think of a fresh scone, the blueberries, how they hung long in the inspiration of the sun. A broken-off bit lifts the ring of my married hand to my mouth. All of it, folded and blended with care, has a history longer and sweeter than anyone would have supposed.
Beautiful. Tell us about this poem.
I wrote this poem after attending the funeral for my friend's father, and his mother, who had just lost her husband of many years, inspired me. I thought about how time might seem to stop moving forward when a loss of that magnitude takes place. It's the idea that you can spend a lifetime building something and then it just ends, and the courage that it must take to go on in the wake of that kind of pain. And the poem is meant to honor that effort.
Yeah. Well, it certainly does. A history longer and sweeter than anyone would have supposed. It's just a beautiful statement. Linda, we've touched on some of the guidelines for submission, and we've certainly not gotten the whole technical list of submission. Where can our readers go to find out about all of the guidelines?
Well, I'm not sure if Dogfish Head has them on their website yet. But people can certainly email me at Lynn Blask, LINBLASK at AOL.com, and I will be happy to send them the guidelines.
Okay, good. Just so that in case we might be able to find them on there, what is the website for the Dogfish Head Poetry Prize?
Well, Dogfish Head's website is www.dogfish.com.
Okay.
But the manuscripts are not submitted to that email address. They go to dogfishheadpoetryprize@earthlink.net.
Okay. Well, Linda Blasky and Tina Ray Dayton, thank you very much for joining us on Delmarva Today, the Writer's Edition. We appreciate it greatly. Okay, everyone, pen in hand, paper at the ready. The submission period is open. The Dogfish Head Poetry Prize awaits your best work. This is your host, Harold Wilson. Thank you for listening to Delmarva Today, the Writer's Edition.
You've been listening to a special Writer's Edition of Delmarva Today with your host, Harold Wilson. This program is produced on the campus of Salisbury University for Delmarva Public Radio. Christopher Rank is your audio engineer. Mary Seaman is the volunteer producer. Visit our website, delmarvapublicradio.net, for podcasts of this program.